are three incidents that recall themselves to my mind in these tests, acceptance tests of the flyboat, which was GADUT, your Uncle T. Tommy, which was the third, I suppose, of the C-class flying boats. While I was there, HL Canopus finished its acceptance test and flew off, having been accepted by Imperial Airways. And then there was a UU, which was Cavalier. That, while I was there, was crated because it was subsequently loaded on a ship and then taken across the Atlantic because it was rebuilt there to operate the New York-Bermuda flights, which was then being exploited by Imperial Airways because of a certain difficult attitude by the Americans in connection with the possibility of the transatlantic flight. Number one, I suppose, the one was the day when Egglesfield, incidentally the crew of the of UT, of Centaurus, consisted of Captain Egglesfield, and then there was Carlos Madge, who was the first officer, Paddy Kazans, who was a radio operator, who also did the pickup of moorings, etc. There was a fellow called Phillips, who was a New Zealander, I think, either Australian or New Zealander, who was the steward, and then myself as the purser. This particular takeoff test was, we were told we were doing altitude, and the skipper wanted to find out how it behaved at various altitudes, etc., etc. And we, amongst other things, just went climbing and climbing and climbing. And we got colder and colder and tireder and tireder because of lack of oxygen, because we had no oxygen at all. The aircraft eventually wouldn't go anymore, and I think to some extent too, it was Egglesfield couldn't cope with trying to fly the thing at 21,000 feet, which in those days was a hell of a height, particularly with no oxygen as well. We were all very pleased when we came down slowly, slowly, and eventually touched down in Rochester. But the other one was this tricky business of flying out of Rochester, because it's not a very long straight bit of a river, Medway, and coming in over the Rochester Bridge, past the castle, and down on the water beside the Shorts Works, was a tricky business. And if you got side winds blowing, cross winds blowing, it was a case of very, very tricky work on the rudder in order to keep the thing coming down the river. One particular day, after we'd taken off, I was up standing up in the cockpit, with the skipper and the first officer. He asked me if I went to go down into the rear hold, as far back in the rear hold as I could, probably around about where the release gear was for the tail drag, and wait there, contrary to all rules, of course, until after we'd landed and tied up, because he wanted to know what the reactions were way back in the tail section during landings. In fact, as there were no lashing points or no handholds or anything, I just had to grab lashing points where they were, or the stringers or framework of the tail, within the tail section. It was a pretty hairy thing to do, standing around there with the tail coming left or right, depending according to where he got cross winds, and slightly up and down. But mostly it was a case of sideways and side-slipping. And then, of course, the last one was just touching down. But I didn't like it at all. It was horrible. The other thing that I remember was on one particular evening, we got a signal from our head office telling us that the spare engine that we got loaded in the rear hold of the flying boat, they wanted urgently somewhere else, and therefore they were taking it out and shipping it off. So that was done by the engineering side during the evening or during the night. But the next morning, of course, when we were flying, the aircraft had to be checked because of the removal of the engine from the rear hold. It meant, of course, the CFG was all out. Well, I sort of did what I was supposed to do, went up to the Swiss office of Shorts and brought my papers up with them, and said to the fellow in charge that I thought that if we moved this bit of that back from the forward upper hold back into the rear hold, then that would be all right. He said, "Oh, you can't do that sort of thing." Out came a great big sheet of paper, and we started off with the weight empty of the aircraft, with how much fuel it was in, and therefore where the moment moved, and the weight of the skipper and the first officer and each member of the crew, and the weight of the pantry and the everything we had there, all the movable items, which meant we had to finish up the two sheets of foolscap, which is the usual drill, you see, up in the stress office. Two sheets of foolscap completed line by line to finish up at the end with a trim which showed that if we moved just about 300 kilos from the forward upper hold into the rear hold, it would bring the center of gravity back within the gravity range. This poor stress bloke in the shorts, he said, "I just can't understand you people. How do you work that out, that you could just do that, just do it in your head without having doing it properly, but you come out right all the time?"